Hi, lovely people. Another podcast this week, already episode 22. And I'm recording it again from Casey's child room because now I have Corona. My three boys already have it, and I think my husband also has it. So a pity I can't go to the studio because actually I had planned a one-to-one food photography coaching today. But I have to postpone it. But luckily you can do online things. And maybe you don't know, but I have my Lucy membership, and in about 3 days we are starting a new month. And this month the focus is on interior photography, and maybe you're thinking it's nothing to do with food photography or food styling, but you can get the request from a restaurant owner if you can also make pictures from his interior. And I can tell you, interior photography is very different than food photography. So if you're interested in that part of photography, you can join. You can also join my Lucy membership for 1 month and then go away. But of course, this month there's also a live food styling video from Golden Plate Photography. There are challenges with food photography. And of course, every month new content is coming online. So there's already a food styling video from Twig Studios, an interview with Stems and Forks. So I think already more than 70 videos online. So hop over to mylucy.com. But today I have another guest. And we know actually each other from Instagram. It's Stephanie from Food Love. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Lucy. Thanks for having me.
Maybe you can introduce yourself.
Yes, of course. I am Stephanie from Food Love. Food Love is a Belgian business and blog. For those from the Netherlands who don't know me yet, or from worldwide, I know your audience is quite broad, Lucy, which is very nice. But so Food Love is a blog and a business trying to inspire people to eat more healthy, with a focus on vegan and vegetarian food. But besides that, so besides the blog and the recipes, I also have a lot of work for clients. So I make recipes for example, restaurants, for food brands, etc. Mostly in Belgium. I also have a cookbook. I can show it for those who are watching the video. This is it. It's a meal prep cookbook, helping people to combine a busy life with healthy food, which is a struggle we all have. Sorry?
Yeah, I immediately have a question about the cookbook. How do you say it in English? Did you uitgegeven?
Did I publish it?
Publish it with by a publisher?
No, it's with a publisher. Yeah, it's with one of the major Belgian publishers. And they were very excited about the topic, meal prepping, because a lot of people have that struggle of coming home after a busy workday and then thinking, oh, what will I cook? And yeah, I don't want to spend 2 hours in the kitchen. I don't want to go to my groceries all the time. How can I have like a healthy, quick meal on the table? So it has about 8 solutions. It's eight chapters, 8 solutions for combining a busy life with healthy food. So you have meal prepping, meal planning, one pot dinners, quick dinners, freezer friendly food, things you can like creatively reuse your leftovers from the previous meal, etc. But it's only in Dutch, so I have to disappoint the English speaking audience of my Lucy. And it's a very thick book, actually. I think it's 65 recipes, a lot of meal plan tips, a lot of theory about meal prepping, etc. So it's I'm really proud of it, and I feel like I feel like it really helps people, and I'm ready to actually write a second book also. I'm thinking about what the focus will actually be, but I'm thinking about developing it this year. So maybe next year there will be a second Food Love book, which would be really nice.
Yeah, so great.
And so apart from that, so I have my client work, recipe development, food photography, I also do. And before Corona, of course, I had my cooking workshops, I had my food photography workshops, and my food tours in my hometown. But now everything is online. So I have the Food Love Academy, quite similar to yours, I think, but with a little bit of different content with food photography courses, courses on how to use your camera, because a lot of people start with using a smartphone, but of course they want to use after a while a real camera, but they only use it in automatic stance. So that's a good idea to start working in manual mode. And then I also have a meal prep course. So what you learn in the book, you can also learn in a more extensive way in the Meal Prep Masterclass. And of course, more courses to come in Food Love Academy.
And where did you start? Did you start with giving workshops? Because I can remember you gave all those workshops in beautiful locations and restaurants in Belgium. Did you start there? And did you start there with food photography?
Yes, after a while I did, because I don't have a degree in photography. It's not that I studied photography or that I studied cooking even. I studied marketing and business. I even started a PhD in marketing, but I never finished it because I really felt like I have to do something with my passion. It's food. It's the only thing I get excited about in the morning, in the evening. It's the only thing I want to talk about all the time. It's not marketing, it's not business. But what can I do with it? And I knew I didn't want to start a restaurant because it's really, really hard work, combining family and social activities, etc. So I started with the workshops, the cooking workshops, healthy cooking workshops, and with food tours, going through all the healthy restaurants and shops in my hometown in Ghent. And teaching people about kombucha and about zero waste shopping and about fermenting cabbage and everything, you know, like the trends in healthy food. And my pictures in the beginning, if you go to my Instagram 7 years ago, you can see horrible pictures, but I leave them on it because I feel like everyone goes through a journey. And it's good to show that journey. You have people who delete all their ugly pictures. I don't. I feel like it's, if you have the time to scroll, you deserve to see all the old pictures. But after a while I realized, like, if you want to reach more people and convince them that your offer is valuable and that you offer quality, your pictures have to say the same thing. So you can have the best recipes and a great workshop and people going home really, really satisfied, but if your pictures are just not up to the level that you want, the same level as the quality of the workshop, then people are not going to come. So I decided to follow workshops, mostly in the Netherlands, actually, because I think until like a few years ago, no one in Belgium was giving food photography workshops. I was one of the first here in Belgium to do it as well. So I went to Utrecht a couple of times to learn about food photography. I followed some online courses as well and started developing my own style and my own way of working. And it really helped to boost my business. And then I had the question of like restaurants and food brands in Belgium, like, hey, can you do the same thing for us? And so I started making their pictures and then also teaching them, because you can make only so many pictures a day or a week for someone. It's better to teach them how to do it themselves. So you have the combination of doing it and teaching.
Yeah. So great to hear.
Yeah. I don't know if that's how you started. You started really from a photography point of view, no?
Yes. By coincidence, I had my first client, and actually I was freestyling with a brocante shop. And then we made some pictures from a restaurant in the opposite of them, from a hamburger and fries with man hands. And the restaurant owner was very happy about the pictures. And he were asking, what's your rate? And I didn't know it. So a very good answer is, if you don't know the answer, is I'm coming back to you about it later.
And not just inventing something on the spots and then later being like, oh, I should have asked for more.
Yes. But I just started out and but actually it was a very great client. And, I was just starting out. And he was also helping with the food styling. So it was a very nice collaboration. Mm-hmm. And then I suddenly discovered, or I realized, Lucy, now you have to focus, because if you have a niche, you can be like not a star, but an expert in it, mm-hmm. you know. And then it's if your niche is too broad, then it's where do people come to you for?
Yeah.
And now also with you, they're coming for food photography or food styling, or for, as you also, for recipes, not with me, but yeah, so that was my point of view. And then I all soaked all knowledge from food photography and food styling.
Yeah.
And I actually missed like a food photography workshop. I also followed online, offline workshops. But before I was a food photographer, I also gave creative workshops. So I was used to teach. Mm-hmm. So I thought I can give lessons about this. So I already started after 1 year giving workshops.
Yeah, I think we're both people who like to explain things, but especially to carry over our knowledge to other people. Like, we don't want to keep everything we know to ourselves, because the world will not be a better place if everyone does that. Yeah. I mean, if everyone starts taking good pictures, some people say, yeah, but you're creating your own competitors. I'm like, no,
yeah.
The world will be better because there will be better food pictures around everywhere.
Last week, someone told me, and I was telling, no, I'm an open book.
Yeah,
and
of course.
Why I'm attracting people, because they all want to know that knowledge.
Of course, yeah. And it's impossible to translate everything we have in our head to the public, of course. So there will always be a part that is like unconscious knowledge, like things we don't realize why we do it or how we do it. But most things is just, yeah, knowledge that we can give to everyone, that they can use, really practical tips and tricks. And yeah, that's what I love. I like knowing, or like seeing the evolution of people, their photography. Like, if they start out blogging or creating pictures, they follow a course with me. And then after a few weeks or months, I can see like they're developing their own style and they're like creating better pictures. And I'm really proud of them. And it makes me really happy and full of joy to see how they evolve in their pictures. I don't see, oh my God, my competitor is getting bigger than I am. No, that would be a very narrow way of looking at things.
Yes, and I also think, because I know you also give free master classes, and you have also like an ebook.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can think, yeah, but you're giving all your knowledge away. But mm-hmm. I think there's knowledge enough. And you have to give people something. And it's also a way that they can get familiar with you. So yeah. if you're giving a masterclass, they see you in like on screen, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They can see me, they can hear me. And for me, a voice is very important. If I want to follow a course with someone and I hear their voice and I'm like, I don't know if I can listen to them for 2 or 3 hours straight, I will not buy the course. And I hear from a lot of people, well, the only ones that are positive, maybe the negative ones don't tell me, but the few people tell me, like, I really liked your voice and the way you interacted with us and your enthusiasm on the screen. And I wanted to see that in the course as well. So I bought the course.
Yeah.
So indeed, it's really good if you sometimes show your face and let them hear your voice. It creates a bond with people. They feel like they know you already a little bit. Sometimes they think they know you too well, and they start asking like really personal questions on Instagram, and they're like, oh, we're still not friends. But it's really nice to have like a bond, and I think I have the most important girlfriends around me right now, like the friends I made recently, the last 2 to 3 years, and that I really have a special connection with, are Instagram friends, actually. Yeah. So I have a few friends from high school and from my hobbies and etc. Yeah. But then I think the people that I hear like almost every day, I know them through Instagram. And it's beautiful, I think, that medium exists. For creatives to connect. And it doesn't have to be food photographers, eh? It can be a dietitian. I have a really good friend like that. I have someone who has a workshop platform, someone who creates cosmetics, natural cosmetics. So it's like connected to what I do, but it's not exactly what I do. But we have such good conversations, and we go on workations together and this and that. And do you have the same thing? Like, you connect with people?
Yeah, I was thinking about it, because every week I have a walk in the evening with a friend, and she's not a food photographer, but she's has a like a light school and interior styling. But we are in the same business, you know. You're both selling online courses or giving workshops or finding the right tone or... And it's so nice to share it with someone who understands you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very nice to share with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only the wins, but also the struggles. Sometimes it's because like my friends that I know from high school or university, or even my boyfriend, they want to hear it and they want to understand it. And they're there for me if I want something to say or if I want to say something. But they don't really get it. They don't really understand how it feels to have a business, to be self-employed, to be in a creative rut, or to be blocked, you know, have like a writer's block or an Instagram block. They don't really get it. They don't know what difficult clients are. They don't know what the frustration of photo editing can be. And it's really nice if you can sometimes talk to different people about it. Even it's just to vent a little bit and to just talk for 5 minutes to my phone and then I send a message, whew, and it's out there and it's off my chest and I can just, you know, charge my batteries again and then start working again. It's because you work alone a lot of the time, eh? You have your own studio. Yes. You don't have a colleague next to you that you can say like, oh my God, you know what? The client just emailed me.
No, so I have interns now. So that's nice because you can talk immediately. They're not the whole week there, but but that's also one of the reasons that I organize those gathering and styling sessions. Absolutely. You're coming in what is it, May, I think, in a with the VIP lunch.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's also nice that you connect with other creatives, just having fun, and that you can share the pleasure of making pictures together.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not with any pressure from an assignment or stuff like that. But I think that's really nice. That's why are people coming back, because every time you know more people. And And I like it also very much.
Yeah. And after a while, you know, so many people. No, it's nice. And you can create together. And you can even help each other with the pictures. And do like, I really love to see hands in a picture, which is often hard when you're photographing by yourself. And then you always have to use your stativ. How you say that again?
Tripod.
Your tripod. Yeah. And you have to use a timer and etc. And so it's nice to sometimes just have someone that you can boss around and say like, go stand there and go do this and hold the plate like that. And it's nice. Yeah. It creates more story in a picture and more depth in a story in a, in a picture.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to go back because I just scrolled, of course, to your website. And I was already wondering from how did you, because you have to, if you're writing a sales page, you have different categories, but you did the education or for the half of the time with marketing. Do you notice you have advantage with that, with writing your sales page or newsletters or...
No, well, maybe unconsciously I do, but... How to write a sales page is something I learned from a course, like how to sell an online course. So I follow the course on writing a course and I follow the course on selling a course. Because I think what I learned in university about marketing was very old school marketing and not really focused on online selling, more on how to sell in a store, like in a physical store, for example, and really like point of sale marketing things. And of course some consumer behavior aspects like the psychology and the mind of the people, but really the very practical translation of that to a website and a sales page was something I really had to learn from other business coaches, for example, who taught me that in courses, because I did write sales pages before I wrote, I followed the courses. And then I, with all the new knowledge I had, I checked my website and my sales page and I was like, oof, I understand why no one is buying it, because it's not convincing enough. I was always just listing up the content, like it's 7 chapters and it's 14 videos and you don't have to say that. You have to say to the people like, do you feel stuck in your food photography?
Frustrated.
Yeah. Do you have frustrations? Is your picture not what you want it to be? Then I can help you. I'm going to give you confidence. And that's what people want to read in the first 5 sentences.
Yeah.
And I was just being like to summing everything up, which was in the content of the course, but that's not what people want to see. So no, but I'm sure that I have some marketing feeling that is unconscious, but I don't really know when and where I apply it unconsciously, actually, because it's unconscious. Yeah.
Yeah, but I also had to learn from it.
Yeah, but it's a learning process, and it's nice because It was something completely new, of course. When I was hosting my workshops, my cooking workshops, the marketing was very easy. I created an event on Facebook. People saw it. People posted or indicated that they were attending or interested. Other people saw it, and it was just fully booked in 2 days or in a week, for example. But yeah, it's you cannot create events for every workshop you do, for every online e-course you do. It doesn't work like that. And I think also Facebook, the medium Facebook is like disappearing a little bit in my marketing and in a lot of people's marketing, I think. So you really have to be on Instagram the whole time. Well, not the whole time, maybe. There's also fluctuations in people's opinion about how to use Instagram. But of course, you cannot be selling the whole time. You have to create valuable content for the people in between the selling of the courses. So that was also something I had to learn. Like I cannot sell the whole time, but I have to sell sometimes. Yeah. It's not nice to sell. I don't like to say, hey, buy my course. There's a discount. You feel like an intruder in their safe personal space. but if they don't know about your course, business. No one's going to buy it. Yeah, it is business. Yeah.
But as you know, before COVID, I actually gave every week a workshop food photography.
Oh, wow.
And it was sold out like 2 months before. Every week.
Yeah. That's insane. Crazy. Yeah. Yeah, that means that there's such a big market for it. And after COVID, I hope it will get back.
Yes, I'm promoting it now. So I have my 3-day food photography camp. And that's actually going great because every time it's sold out. So now I already sold the half of it.
That's good.
Yeah, and now I'm trying just a day for food photography with flash. So it actually is for advanced, you know, how your camera works, you know, all the basic, but you're wondering how it works with flash.
Yeah.
Because it don't exist here in Holland. Like I wanted to learn about flash, and I followed a Speedlight workshop, and actually it was about portrait photography, and I photographed like a blue bottle. I just want to have a subject that's very sexy, but I just want to learn the basics, and I prefer someone who's in opposite of me telling it. And of course I followed also online workshops, but I prefer offline workshops, someone where you can ask questions and stuff like that.
Yeah, it has its benefits and disadvantages, of course. The online versus offline thing. I'm a big fan of online, actually.
When did you start
it? At the first day of the lockdown. Lockdown. It was actually something I had in my mind for a long time, that I wanted to do more online offerings and to translate my workshops to online courses, but I just never had the time. I never made the time for it because I always had clients asking me for work. I always had my workshop that were fully booked. I also did team buildings, and team buildings are often like half a year or even a year ahead of time scheduled. And suddenly, because of COVID, the first lockdown, it was in March, I think, in Belgium. Suddenly my agenda was cleared, and I was like, what am I going to do? And I think I panicked for 10 seconds, and then I realized, this is the time for me. This is the moment for me to create my online offering. I just started right away. Of course, there were business coaches that instantly sold like how to launch your online course. So I followed one of those courses for, I think, 3 days. I checked everything, like, what do I need? I need Shopify, I need Teachable, I need this, I need that, all the platforms, how to integrate them. And then I think I launched my course 3 or 4 weeks later. And it sold very well because a lot of people were like, okay, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
3 months that we're at home. And we thought it was going to be only 3 months, Corona, of course. It was really nice. And then I think 2 months later, I launched my Meal Prep Masterclass with a lot of good recipes. And I keep adding recipes. I like that. That's what I like, actually, about an online course. It's not a finished product. You can always add more videos. You can always, if people have certain questions about certain topics, you can add a bonus about that topic. You can, like, the people who bought it first, they get so many bonuses over the years, and they get so much value for money. And that's what I like. When people follow an offline workshop, you're quite limited to, I don't know, 4 hours or 8 hours, or I don't know how long you want to do them, or 2 days or 3 days. And you cannot tell everything you want to say in that limited time. Yeah. And I feel like it's a lot more value for money for them. And for me, of course, it's easier because I don't have to do what we call in Belgium, uurtje factuurtje.
Yeah.
It means like you work an hour, you can get money for that hour.
Yeah.
Now I can create a course during a couple of weeks, for example, and keep on selling it in the future. And of course, keep on adding things. So it's not that it's like free money. I mean, I work the whole time to upgrade those courses. But I feel like it's a win-win. And I don't really know if I will go back to the offline workshops once the whole pandemic is over. No. I'm not, well, right now, I mean, there's constantly like new flows of the virus. So I don't want to cancel and reschedule and cancel and reschedule. So I just don't even think about rescheduling. But I don't know if I want to go back to the every week workshops.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know you really like it. Huh? You say that you get so much energy from it.
Yeah. And like now, the last 2 weeks, every week, I have a one-to-one coaching or one-to-two coaching. And I really love it because I don't have to prepare a lot. Yeah, the groceries, and I want to think about the recipes, and I ask beforehand what problems or frustrations they have, so I can tune in. But actually, if they're in my studio, I just go, and time flies. I'm also making pictures. But of course, it's nice to have different. How do you call it? Points of income.
Yeah.
So of course I have my backdrops and I have my online courses, but I notice sometimes my online courses, if I don't give attention to it, then it's like quiet.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Okay, and if you do the sales and mention it, okay.
Yeah.
Then you heard.
Yeah, they say it's passive income, but it's not passive at all. You really have to constantly, not constantly, but you won't sell if you don't promote it, of course.
Nope.
But your online backdrop web shop, it works quite well, I think. Huh?
Yes, but I have to admit there are lots of other backdrop shops now.
Yeah.
But actually, it started like a thing next to my food photography. Just I think we were on a holiday in Austria, getting to Czechia, and I thought, oh, Etsy, maybe I have to try it out. And I just was uploading some background pictures in my tent around me, and suddenly you were ka-ching, you have like an app. So now every time if my kids hear ka-ching, mommy, there's a sale.
Very nice. Never gets old, it's the best sound in the world.
But so actually, it was just a tryout, and it really works out well, especially last year. And now I'm just, how do you call it, investigate all kinds of things, what works well, what not works well. You know, I have more than 400 designs in Etsy, and I also have a web shop because it's all automated. But that's okay. I'm not maybe I'm adding digital backdrops more, but like the vinyl backdrops, it's okay, you know, it's already there.
Yeah, of course.
So that's fine.
400 is a lot of backdrops.
Yeah.
I think I have a lot of them as well already.
But I still have new pictures. So now in a Christmas holiday, I thought, well, maybe I have to sell like digital bundles. So I'm selling like 6 or 8 pictures, digital backdrops for like a very low price, because I already have them, you know?
Yeah. But and are there backdrops that never get sold? Like you could delete them actually because no one buys them, or?
Well, then I have a very low price.
Okay.
Just trying things out, and it also worked. So yeah, why not? Because I already have it online.
Yeah.
So every time it's not, and I think you do recognize it. It's not the every time you have the success factor. You have the. It's changing. Yeah. The market is changing.
Yeah.
Of course, other companies are coming with other backdrop shops. That's fine. Thinking in, how do you call it in English? Overvloed. Thinking in.
abundance.
Yeah, abundance. There's enough
for I love that word. Yeah.
And I have every time I have a new idea. So now my the rent of my studio is going, you know, clients or other photographers want to rent it. That's fine.
Yeah. But sometimes it's hard because I think we're the same in that way that we have so many ideas.
Yeah.
How do you choose which ones you're going to start? How do you divide your attention to all the new ideas and to the old ideas? Because I realized like recently that I have such a broad offer that it's also hard to communicate to people. People don't know what I do. They think first they thought I was the workshop girl. And then now some people who they just know me from Instagram recipes, like, oh, you have a blog. Well, no, I have a business actually. And the blog is like a supporting factor of the business.
Yeah.
Other people think I have that I'm a photographer, but that I don't have a blog or courses. So it's hard to communicate everything to everyone and to just prioritize what you're going to do to make sure you're still aligned with your goal. And I mean, what is your goal? That's also like a question. Like, what do I want to do in 2 years? I don't know. Sit on a beach and sip margaritas. That's what I want to do, but it's not happening yet.
Well, I think sometimes you have to say goodbye from old things. So I also try to say goodbye from certain topics. Like I had a lot of small online courses, so I only have three now. Mm-hmm. But the advantages of my Lucy membership is all my ideas, I can put it in my Lucy membership.
That's true.
And I don't have to sell a whole new course. I only have to promote, like, for now I'm doing it for 5 days, but maybe next month for 2 days, I don't know.
That's a good idea.
If I'm correct, people will know my Lucy membership. And every time there is another topic. So in April, I'm going to do a topic about product photography. In June, about flowers. And Boris is coming to the studio, make a bouquet of flowers. We're going to photograph it. So, you know, that's my advantage.
Absolutely.
But I also realize that sometimes I have an idea and sometimes I have to say no.
Yeah.
Focus.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
Very important words.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's really hard because we can get so excited about new ideas. Especially I get the best ideas I always get when I'm doing like something I really don't want to do, like accounting or administration, or I'm editing pictures. I mean, I like editing and seeing the result, but sometimes you have to edit so many pictures that I get like, a little overwhelmed as well. And then I get a new idea and then I shut off my Instagram, my Lightroom, for example, where I put away my accounting and I start developing the new idea. And it can really distract me from what has to be done and what's on my to-do list. And then sometimes you say, okay, no, I'm going to focus. I'm going to put the idea away. And then years later you think, oh my God, I have a new idea. And then you realize, no, I had this idea actually 2 years ago already. I just never did it, but now is the right time to do it.
Yeah.
So that's okay. But sometimes I have a lot of idea books, like little notebooks that I write ideas and thoughts in it. And sometimes I go through an old one and I realize like, oh my God, these are like great ideas. I should develop them. I think in Dutch we call it the creative generalist, the creative generalist. I don't know if it's a word in English. It's something in Belgium. There's a lot of books about it. I don't know if you know the word in the Netherlands as well. It's people that know a lot of things. No, that they know a little bit about a lot of things, and they get they're interested in a lot of things, but they cannot really focus on one thing only. Like, it's hard to be an expert in just only one small little field and ignore all the rest. I'm so curious about everything in the world. And it's like, I want to make my own plates now, you know, like start a ceramic studio, for example. I know you're working on it as well. Or haven't you followed like workshops for making your own plates or something or not?
But I totally recognize you. Because on Christmas holiday, I was painting like flowers and I thought, well, maybe I have to sell my paintings. Mm-hmm. And I have like the Portuguese styles on the backdrops. Oh, I can make cushions and wallpaper. And then a friend of me was also running a business, and she was saying, Lucy, all right, questions, and you're running a business program. And of course, I didn't like what she said, but she was totally right.
Yeah.
Thinking, oh, no, yeah, no, okay, get rid of the questions.
Yeah, no, absolutely, yeah.
And okay, do I want to start a whole new web shop with designs? Yeah, I like it, but I've also 3 kids. I don't know where I... Time, hello.
Yeah.
No. Okay, stop. It's nice.
Yeah.
So sometimes, and my husband also said, Lucy, maybe you just have to paint just for yourself and not making a business from it. But now absolutely. I'm first a team member of me was running the Instagram of my Lucy Backdrops. Now I'm doing it for myself. And actually, I notice it's great because I feel it again. And I know, okay, this point I want to go and I want to share my painting skills and just more creative. So all those creative ideas about painting, I can get it lost in my Lucy Backdrops.
Yeah.
So that's how I...
You don't have to put all your interests and talents into one part of your business. You can just spread it out and you don't have to monetize everything you're excited about. It's not because I really like to go swimming and do yoga that I have to launch an online yoga / food course, for example. I can just
do it,
lie on my mat and do my yoga and don't bother anyone with it. I don't have to monetize that passion of mine. But also it's quite comforting, the idea that if in 5 years I'm sick and tired of food photography, you never know, I can just start something new because my interests are just so broad. And we have both, I think, already showed that we can quickly adapt and quickly launch new things and quickly change our focus, with or without focus, sometimes a bit distracted. And it's quite reassuring, like, whatever happens in the coming weeks or months or years, I know I can adapt and I know I can create a business that will be sustainable. Because if I look at how I was as a child, for example, I think all the hobbies and sports I did, I never did them for more than 2 years. Maybe 3 if I really liked it or really had to do it from my parents' side. And I think with my business it's the same. I did my workshops for 3-4 years and I was like, is this the only thing I'm gonna do for the rest of my life, giving workshops? And then I have my online courses, and in a few years I'll be like, it's this or that, I'm gonna do that. Maybe I start a podcast, maybe I start a video YouTube channel, you never know. Like, it's fun to know that it's all possible. But it's also overwhelming that everything is possible.
Yeah, but I think we have the creative entrepreneur thing in our heads.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely. I think dreaming big is great and then you can accomplish things. But I really like it that now I discover in our conversation that you have the same mind. But sometimes it's really... because now I also have a coach and sometimes I think, oh, he's really getting tired of me because Lucy have another new idea of my team. what now?
Yeah, but that's okay, it's just how we are, and it's actually a good thing.
Yeah,
it's a good thing. When I started out with Food Love, I also had a coach and I was like, I don't feel enough like satisfaction from my work. I was only doing the workshops, and she started looking at what my talents were. So we went to my childhood in our exercises and was like, what did you really like to do as a kid, etc., etc. And we came up with what my talents were, and I didn't know that those were actually talents. Like the fact that I'm super curious and I like to know a little bit about everything and change the whole time, and then I get very distracted. It's actually talent to be interested in a lot of things and to get excited and to be curious. I said, like, you have to use that. You cannot only do the workshops. So I started doing the food tours, for example. I started working for clients because I needed to broaden actually what I had to do. It's a talent and I cannot ignore it because otherwise I will not be happy with my business. And one of my talents, I do it with like the quotation marks because I think it's a funny word actually. it was that I really liked to write as a kid. I had my little diary. I wrote little stories, and yeah, no one could read it, but I just loved to write. And she was like, you have to do something with it. Just write blog posts. And even creating a recipe is a bit like writing. And then you create a little text with it. And you just have to use your Instagram channel, not only for advertisement or just for, you know, promoting your business, but also for writing. And maybe you should think about a book. And so I did. And it's really important to know what your talents are, because they drive your enthusiasm, and to put them in different aspects of your business. And if you cannot put them all in your business, then you put them in your hobbies, for example. Yeah. But it's good. You cannot just say, oh, that's a bad part of me. I have to be like everyone else who is focused on one thing. No, absolutely not. Yeah. It's our special gift that we love so many things. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
so funny. Yeah.
Nice. I think a lot of people would recognize themselves in this. Not everyone, of course, because some people are much more focused on one thing and like to be an expert in one thing. And or some people really like numbers. I hate numbers. Everyone has their talents.
Also an advantage not to focus, okay, your choose your niche, but I think that you have different points of income. So you're not, I'm not all depending on my food photography assignments. Actually, I have less food photography assignments, but I have more time for like making content for my Lucy membership or like my business program or, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just have to feel like what gives me energy and what do I look forward to do and just do that more. I really loved taking pictures for clients the last years. But then lately I realized I actually prefer taking pictures for myself and my own blog.
Yeah.
Because then I don't feel the pressure, because we're different in this. I'm really a perfectionist. And I think like, will the client like this spoon, or should he, maybe he likes this spoon better, because I usually work without a client looking over my shoulder. So I have to decide everything on the spot. And I just hesitate so much. And in the end, I end up with 150 pictures of one dish with 17 different spoons and napkins, just in case he doesn't like the other ones.
Yeah,
and it gives me so much stress, and it takes so much time. While when I am my client, when I have to take a picture for myself or for as an illustration for the recipes in the meal prep course, for example, I am the only client. I have to think it's good, and in 20 minutes the picture is taken, and I'm really, really happy with it. And I realize that I want to focus more on that. Of course, I can still work with clients that want to do sponsored posts, like if they want me to make a recipe and a picture for on my blog, but with their product. I still make money with the picture and the recipe, but I am the end client for the picture actually. And that was really good to realize, because I think in the beginning of last year I started dreading food photography. I didn't get any fun out of it anymore, because I was only working for clients. And it was by talking to someone else that I realized I have to do it more for fun and more for my own blog. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, exactly the same.
Oh, really?
I only recognize you in your stories. Yeah, I also had the same. And I think I also made different podcast about it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I have a photography assignment where I don't get lots of freedom, I also feel the pressure, but I really, it gave me a bad feeling to admit it. And then suddenly I started to talk about it in my podcast, to accept it for myself and just say it out loud. And it's okay that you feel pressure. Mm-hmm. Because if I have like a photography assignment and it's all written down how the picture is going to be, I don't like it anymore, actually. Of course, I will ask how dark, moody, or light, bright, or, you know, I can do everything. Mm-hmm. But I think I also write down a lot in notebooks. And I think a year ago, I wrote, I just want to have my own studio and do lots of freestyling and make content. And now I'm doing it. So
yeah. I like the word freestyling, because freestyling means like, yeah, you just try some things out. And but it's also free styling. So like free in your styling, literally. So it matches so well with what we do, actually. Because you can also freestyle in cooking and freestyle in sports and whatever. But it's such an accurate word for what we have to do. We just have to do some free styling to really really love and really like what we're doing. Because I got an email, I think, from Two Love Studio, Rachel, she's called. It was like a mailing list email. And I think she also wrote about that she thought about quitting food photography so much, so often. Yeah. And I was like, wow, even her, like, she's like one of the people I admire most in food photography. And it was quite reassuring to read that someone like her also had the same feelings, and that it's okay to have like, it goes up and down, roller coaster of, do I like photography? Yes, no, yes, no. and in the moments that I don't like it, it's good to have my other activities. So it's good that we have a broad range of offerings.
Yeah. Okay, I have the feeling we could talk another hour.
I think so too.
Maybe we have to plan another podcast.
That's good. That's good.
I really want to thank you. And I think it was very nice because the funny thing was I do recognize you in a lot of things. So that's also...
I hope a lot of people will recognize themselves as well.
I hope so, yeah. And I think it's an advantage that you can see each other and it's other than text. But where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram, of course, at foodloveblog. Because, of course, at foodlove was already taken when I started. It's such a common word. So it's foodlove blog behind it. And also on Facebook, but I post a little less there. And then, of course, the website, foodlove.be from Belgium. They can maybe find my book in the library in Belgium, if they're from Belgium. You can also buy it at my on my webshop. But I think in most stores, it's already sold out, which is good, which is good. The whole print is almost sold out. I have a few copies left in my basement for those who are interested. And the Food Love Academy, all the courses you can also find through my website. And I have a little gift, a little discount code, if I can share it.
Yes, of course.
It's a MyLucy15. So you get 15% discount on the e-courses. So on the online courses, not only the photography ones, but also the meal prep masterclass, in case you want to start combining your healthy lifestyle with your busy life and your busy work. So that it would be nice to see everyone in the Food Love Academy. Would be lovely.
Of course, I will share all your information in the show notes. So,
thank you.
If you're listening to this, you can hop over to the show notes. Of course, lovely. Stephanie, thank you so much.
Thank you. It was lovely. And we'll see each other again in a few weeks or months for our next podcast episode.
Great.
Really nice.
And for the other ones, if you listen to this podcast, you do your walk. Of course, you can make a screenshot of this podcast and share it in your stories and tag Stephanie and me. And then we can also share it in our stories. Thank you so much. Next week, I have another podcast. Have a lovely day, everyone. Bye, Stephanie.
Bye.